me right? I already have it in my heart that the Lord wants to do some specific things this evening. Among these things is healing. Healing. Amen. Did you know there's more than one way to receive a healing? I know having the privilege of working Brother Kenneth Hagin's ministry in the healing school for a number of years, I was able to witness some of the many ways God heals people. You know, the Bible said He sent His Word and healed them. Can you be healed from the Word coming into you? And in that case, you might not have been prayed for, hands might not have been laid on you, you might not have been, you know, ministered to like that from anybody else, but can the Word itself heal you? I was in a place, I guess it was about a quarter this big, in a smaller healing class, and I was just preaching on, you know, the Word of God heals you. It's life to those that find it. And health and medicine to all their flesh. And just taught on that, no fast organ music. You know, wasn't preaching real fast, just teaching. And I saw a person in the back raise their hand, begin to praise God, but didn't make any noise. And later on at the end, they just made a beeline, this lady and her husband, I found out later, and came up. And the lady said, look, and she showed me your notes. She had taken some notes. I thought, well, praise God. She said, no, you don't understand. She said, look. I thought, praise God. You know. She said, no, you don't understand. I'd had a stroke. My whole right side was paralyzed. I couldn't use my right hand. I hadn't written in I forget how long, she said. And she said, look. I said, yeah. She just believed the Word while it was going forth and was healed right there in her chair. I've seen that again and again and again. Thanks be unto God. So are y'all with me tonight?
Yes.
Healings tonight. But we'll see how the Lord ministers it, because it could be different than you might think. John 15, are you there? John 15 and verse 4. John 15, 4, Jesus said, abide in me. Now we looked up that word and talked about it. What does the word abide mean? Among other things, two words that we use a lot would be live or stay. He said, live in me, stay in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide or stay or live in the vine, no more can you except you live or stay, abide in me. I'm the vine. You're the branches. Not the other way around, right? Branches are dependent on the vine. You know, being a faith person doesn't mean you are completely independent. You don't have to rely on people, but you are dependent on God. Amen. Completely dependent on God. He said, verse 7, if you abide, if you live, stay in me, and my words abide, live, stay in you, you'll ask what you will. It'll be done to you. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Now that's the same thought. Continue, stay, live. Live in my love. Now, as we begin to look at this again, let me remind you, we've had a narrow idea of living in love. And one of the limitations has been living in love means always responding to other people in love. We call it walking in love. So when people hear living in love, they immediately think walking in love. How do you live in love? How do you stay in love? Well, I got to stay in love with other people. No, that's just a part of it. He didn't say that. The context is living. Right? Well, that includes not just when you're around other people, but also when you're not. Living in love is like, he's talking about a state of life, a condition of life, a spiritual reality. Fish have to stay in the water. Right? The branch has to stay hooked up to the vine or it ceases to live. The fish has to stay in the water. You get the fish out, get the fish out of the water and he can't continue to live. You and I have to stay in this atmosphere. Right? We can't live on the bottom of the ocean. We go too far up and get out of the atmosphere, we can't live. We got to stay in our environment, in our atmosphere. Well, we read in Acts last night, in Him we live and move and have our being. In Him. He is love. So we are to live in love. Are y'all believing God with me tonight? Because even though I've said that, we still have all this mentality of walking in love. He's talking about walking in love. He's talking about, no. I'm talking about what? Existing, living, staying in God's manifest love. Has God ever manifested His love to you? Has He?
Yes.
When you got born again, do you remember?
Amen.
Do you remember?
Yes.
Getting filled with the Spirit. Have you ever had any good times in prayer or in services where God manifested Himself to you?
Amen.
If you're like me, some of the most powerful times I've ever had in the presence of the Lord. I remember the first time that I really, the presence of God just manifested until I forgot where I was at. And I forgot everything. And the thing that most stood out to me was His love. And I thought, this is where I want to stay. And this is where we get to stay. For this is the environment of heaven. We read in Revelation that there's no sun there. There's no moon. There's no atmosphere like for the earth, but there is an atmosphere. What is it? God is the light. You don't have to breathe, inhale, exhale like we do here on the earth. But for lack of a better word, what do you breathe in heaven?
Love.
Hallelujah. You breathe love. What shines on your face?
Love.
There's no sun. So it'd be God. And God is
love.
Now we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to experience more of this love. In fact, he's charging us right here. Live in me. Live in this love. Now keep reading. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. So continue. Stay in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide, you shall live in my love. Even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide, live in His love. These things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Then he talks about loving each other. But see, this is the foundation for that. When you're living in this, it's not so hard to express it to somebody else. You're living in manifest love. I know there's been times in my life that I was conscious that I pleased God better and more than at other times. And when you do, he will let you know. Didn't Jesus say that? I do always those things that please him. Is he keeping God's commands? Everything the Father directs him to do, deals with him to do, do this, don't do this. Jesus was 100% obedient. Right? And he always did what pleased the Father. Well, he also lived in the Father's manifest pleasure. He lived in the Father's manifested love. I remember some years ago I had done a meeting in another country. And when we'd had some good services. People got saved, people got healed, miracles. And I was coming back on a commercial plane. I was a little tired, but I was feeling pretty good. I said, "Thank you, Lord, for letting me be a part of that." He said, "Thank you for going." I thought, "Am I hearing right?" I said, "Thank you." He said, "No, thank you." And it seemed like the Holy Ghost got in the chair with me. And God expressed his pleasure to me. When he's pleased with you, he'll let you know it. What is that? That's love. Can you live there? If you're willing to please God fully, all the time, then you live in his full pleasure expressed, which is living in love, his love. Y'all got to hook with me just a little bit better. A lot of folk waiting for something else. It don't get any better than this. It doesn't get any better than this. Living in the manifest love of God night and day. Now let's just back. We'll read the next verse. What did he say? If you're living in his love, he said, "These things I've spoken to you." Why? So that my joy might stay in you, live in you, and as a result, what's going to happen to your joy? It'd be for, when his joy is living in you, staying in you, your joy just fills up and flows over. And that is the life. That's the life. Ain't no drug can give you that kind of high. Ain't no kind of alcohol. No kind of possessions. No kind of success in business. Nothing can do that for you. Nothing. That's the life. Living in love. Living in his love. Now let's just come back. If you miss God and you grieve the Spirit, can you tell it?
Yes.
How would you tell it? The very opposite of what we're talking about here. If the Spirit of God in you, you do something. Do something ugly, do something mean, do something selfish. God say go left and you just purposely go right. Well, you know it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know it. What do you know? God is not pleased. Right? How does that feel? That's the yuckiest of yucky. That's the opposite. Instead of living in love, living in God's pleasure, you're living in condemnation. Condemnation ministers death. Right? And the more guilt and guilty feeling and condemnation you're living in, and what happens is after a while, if you keep doing it and you keep doing it, people think, "Well, I'm so messed up anyway. I can't get straight anyway. I might as well just do what I want to do." Don't even believe they can live free from condemnation. I learned something some years ago. Some people that Phyllis and I had known years before, we were in their town for a meeting, and they got to God and got back to God. And I talked to them after that and asked them, had they been reading their Bible? And the young lady said, well, no, you know, not really. I guess nobody could read their Bible enough. And when she said that, something checked me on the inside. Bothered me. That's not right. But you know, people talk like that. Well, I guess we could never praise the Lord enough. I guess we could never read our Bible enough. I guess we could never pray enough. I guess we could. Something checked me, but I didn't know what it was. Later on in a time of prayer, waiting on the Lord, it came up to me again. I thought, Lord, what is this? I've heard people say that I guess we could never, you know, give enough or pray enough or read our Bible. He said, am I unreasonable? I thought, no, I know the answer to that right off. No. No, you're not unreasonable. He said, then can you pray enough? Can you read your Bible enough? Think about it now. Is he unreasonable? Does he know that you need to sleep part of the time? Does he know that it takes time to carry out the trash and that you got a job and you got kids? Right? Does he know all this?
Yes, he does.
Is he reasonable?
Yes, he is.
Or could you read your Bible night and day for 6 months? And he'd say, nope, that's not enough. Better read some more. No, now you don't get to the place where I've read the Bible, it's good enough for the rest of my life. No. Tomorrow's a new day. Right? But for a given time, for a day, you can pray enough for today. You can read your Bible enough for today. Right? You can give, some people say, well, you know, boy, God always deals with you to give the biggest bill you got. He always deals with you to give everything. Empty that pocketbook. Well, doesn't he know that you got other stuff going too? Is he always dealing with you to do the biggest thing or to do? No. No. I said no. He's not. What's he leading you to do? The right thing for you for now. Only the Holy Ghost knows that. Right? Can you know it?
Yes.
Can you know it?
Yes.
Yes. And one of the biggest ways you know it is by following peace inside. Following, when you reach what you should be doing, there'll be a satisfaction come up inside you.
Yes.
And the reason it is because God is pleased with you.
Yes.
And when He's pleased with you, just like you sense when He's grieved, well, you'll sense when He's pleased.
Yes.
Can you please Him fully every day?
Yes.
Is it possible?
Yes.
Yes. It's how we're supposed to live. But people don't. Most people don't. Because they just don't believe it. Well, you know, I miss it in so many ways and I fall short and come short in so many ways, and they just live in condemnation and are used to it and just expect to live in condemnation. Well, we just fall short in so many ways, and I guess none of us could really, you know, do everything perfect. You know, that ain't nobody perfect. Well, you need to read your Bible. We're commanded to be perfect. Well, I got couple of amens on that. Are we or not?
We are.
The Bible said, be ye perfect. Right?
Yes.
More than one place. Somebody said, well, ain't nobody perfect, Brother Keith, except Jesus, and they killed Him. You ain't no Jesus. You ain't perfect. Nobody perfect. Well, you got to see what God means when He says perfect. In one sense, nothing on this planet is perfect in the sense of it being flawless, because the curse has affected and marred everything. You know, a newborn child, somebody say, well, it's a perfect baby. Well, you get out the measurements in the microscope and one leg's a little bit longer than the other, one eye's a little bit bigger. No, you know, even what we call perfect. Really, somebody said, well, they're in perfect health. Well, if you really put the scope on them, you could find some stuff wrong. I've learned to say perfect, you know, perfect health is good operating condition. Anybody know what I mean by that? You go and do what you need to do. And because perfection of flesh, no. No. But the Bible says the eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro. Throughout the whole earth, He's scanning. What's He scanning for? He's looking to see who those whose heart is perfect. What's perfect? Heart. Heart. Not perfect of intellect. Not perfect of feeling. Not perfect of flesh. What? Now, if you look up other translations, one says, those who are wholehearted. Whole. Completely. Completely. Is it possible to be perfect before the Lord your God? There are examples of people who were. Does that mean that they knew everything or everything about their physical life was flawless? And no. God looks at your heart. There's been times in my life I look back over my past and see how dumb I was. And some things you just want to go, oh, Jesus. I said that. I did that. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. And I had the Lord tell me one time, He said, son, I was looking at your heart the whole time. As far as I'm concerned, it was perfect. I thought, you got to be kidding. Perfect? He looks at the heart. And if you are whole heart, you're not holding anything back. You're not holding back part of your life that you're not willing to submit and consecrate. If you knew more, you'd do more. You're doing everything you know. You're obeying all you know. You're walking in all the light you have. If you're doing that, He calls it not just okay, not just that'll do. He calls it perfect. He calls it perfect. And if it is that way, He is perfectly pleased with you. And He manifests that to you. And you live in His love. Hallelujah. Let me go over this again carefully. Is it possible to please God fully every day?
Yes.
Can you do it?
Yes.
Can you do it?
Yes.
Is God unreasonable?
No.
Does He expect and require things of you that you can't possibly do?
No.
Certainly not. He knows better than anybody else what you can and cannot do.
Amen.
And what you know and don't know.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
He knows. And so He deals with you according to the light. You can't expect anything or ask anything of anybody more than to walk in all the light you have.
Right.
Do what you know to do.
That's
all you can ask of anybody. And that's what God does. But first of all, you got to believe it is possible to please God all morning, all afternoon, all night, every day, every week. It's possible. In fact, you should live no other way. No other way. What is worth forfeiting the pleasure of God? What is worth living in condemnation with the nagging, gnawing sense, I'm not fully obeying God. I know stuff to do I'm not doing. I'm doing things I know I shouldn't be doing. What? And in doing that, you're not living in His full pleasure. What a price to pay. See, the devil tries to tell you, oh, it costs too much to serve God. It costs not to serve God. It costs. Man, when God is fully pleased with you, even mean people look all right to you. You go, that person's so mean to me. That's all right. I love them. The grass is greener and the sky is bluer and the birds sound better and life is good. Because you're not just living in Texas or Arkansas or Canada or China. You're living in His love. And in His love, the weather's always good. I mean, the climate's fine in His love. Now go to 1 John, please. 1 John, and we're going to look at the first chapter. Y'all are believing God with me now, right? Yes. Stay hooked. Help me with this. How do you describe the love of God? How do you express living in the manifest pleasure of God? Well, you get it by revelation. I mean, I can do the best I know, God help me, to express it, but it takes more than that. You have to hear with your heart. And if you will, by faith, the Holy Ghost to reach in on the inside of you, turn on the light. 1 John 1. Says, 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and we've looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word of life, was life manifested in the flesh? Was this life also love? Yes. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it. And we bear witness and show to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we've seen and heard declare we to you that you may have what? That you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we to you. Why? That your joy may be full. You got so many people on the planet and they're trying to find out how they can be happy. I just want to be happy. Well, you can't be happy without God. You can't have fullness of joy without God. Impossible. You can't. Because this kind of joy is in the environment of the presence of God. It's heaven's atmosphere. You can't have it without God. But notice, he talked about living in love, and here he talks about fellowship. Same thing. How much we live in manifested love is going to be based on how close our fellowship with Him is. And this fellowship, maintaining it and it growing richer, is not just dependent on God. More of it has to do with us, because He doesn't change. He's always there and He's always love. He said, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what He said. If you'll keep my commandments, the Father will love you and we will make our abode with you. We will live in you and with you and will manifest ourselves to you. See, there's a huge difference between relationship and fellowship. Right? I mean a husband and wife. Man and woman can get married. and stand before the minister and get the marriage license and go through the ceremony and repeat the vows and commitments, and they are registered in the state. They have the relationship, husband and wife. But does that mean that rich and full fellowship is automatic from now on? No, it is not. And this is such a perfect example of what we're talking about, because the Lord, He is the head. He's the husband. And we are the bride. Right? And you know, people talk about being in love and being close. What kind of fellowship that is? You ever seen somebody that's bopping around and you say, what's with you? Somebody said, oh, he's in love. And they just, everything's so wonderful. Everything's wonderful. Everything. Wonderful. But then you can see the same people. After some time. So what's wrong with him? He's married. Well, the relationship is the same as the honeymoon night, but not the fellowship. What happened to the fellowship? And maybe their home when they first got started was just heaven on earth. Just heaven on earth. And 10 years later, it's hell on earth. Now, I know we say that and people go, oh, Brother Keith, I don't know if you should say that, hell on earth. No, it's just as accurate as saying heaven on earth. Because what is the atmosphere of heaven?
Love.
Well, can't, the Bible talked about having days of heaven right here on the earth. Didn't the Lord Jesus tell us to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? So we can enjoy the earnest and the first fruits of our eternal inheritance. We can experience some of heaven manifest here and now. People talk about, boy, it's just heaven on earth, heaven on earth. Well, that can be accurate at times. But the Lord said this to me some years ago about James, where it talked about strife. And it said, you know, where strife is, what else is there? Every evil, evil, evil work. And the Lord said to me, he said, strife is the manifest presence of the devil. It is the atmosphere of hell. And people that have been in the dregs of it would not hesitate in agreeing. It's hellish. Right? Strife. I mean, and people can be, you know, husband and wife lay in the same bed and be, you know, 2 or 3 feet apart and feel like they're in different continents. So far away. So cold. Well, what happened? Something disturbed the fellowship. Something, what's the word? Disrupted and divided. And that is one of the enemy's biggest things. He is a divider. He seeks to divide and destroy. Well, the reason I've gone into so much detail about this, it's exactly this way with the Lord. When you get born again, it's honeymoon. You know, do you remember when you got born again? Anybody in here now? Maybe born again, filled with the Spirit at the same time, or born again, or when you got filled with the Spirit. Do you remember it? I was just a boy, but I remember it. My old man, I remember it. Went down to the altar, that wonderful little Baptist church. Actually followed my daddy down. My dad got up, whom I thought was everything, still do. And he went down and gave his heart to the Lord. I thought, well, if he needs to, I need to. And I followed daddy right down to the altar and got born again. I was in junior high. And went to school Monday. It was a Sunday morning. Went to school next Monday. And I thought, what has happened to this school? I did. I looked around, and people that I didn't like, I thought, well, they're okay. People that had been ugly and mean to me, I thought, they good people probably, you know. And just, I saw the teachers different. I saw the people different. I just felt good in algebra. And that was a miracle. I felt good. I thought, I'm enjoying this. Why? I hadn't moved out of state, but I had moved. Come on now. Do you know what I'm talking? I had moved. I had been translated. Moved quick. I moved far and in a hurry. I had been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's beloved dear Son. I'm living in a new place. He's living in me. I'm living in Him. And I hadn't had enough time to sin and mess it up. So I'm living in manifest love. It's like the perfect marriage before people messed it up, right? Now God does not mess it up. Right? He does not mess up the fellowship. Has to be us. And see, that's what the rest of this chapter describes. How many are familiar enough with 1 John to know that it talks a lot about abiding and love? Right? So he's talking about, and God used the same man to pen John 15, as this. And God had given this man a revelation. Right? Do you know that some people live closer to the Lord than others? Some people walk closer and fellowship. He's more real to them. They're more intimate with God than others. And He shares things with them He doesn't share with everybody. That's what fellowship means. That's what communion means, sharing. Sharing. Communion, we talk about the communion table and communion meal. If you and I sit down and have a meal together, we're eating the same stuff. You got potatoes, you dip some potatoes, and you pass the bowl to me. I get some of the same potatoes out of the same bowl and put on my plate. You eating potatoes, and I'm eating potatoes. We wind up with the same potatoes in us. Right? And while we're eating the same potatoes, we're talking about stuff. Thoughts in you come out, thoughts in me come out, and we wind up with the same thoughts. Yes. In us. Can you see this? What sharing. And it's reciprocal. It's not one-sided. Communion. Fellowship. That's what happens to the husband and wife. They fall in love and they open their hearts to each other and open their minds to each other and they share. And they share and they share and they share until they come to this intimacy of communion. And with God, it's never supposed to go backwards or down. It's always supposed to go up. We're just supposed to get closer. And He says it's up to us. You draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. How close can you be to God? Can you be closer than you are now? Are we waiting on Him? No, He said, you draw near to me, and I'll let you come on in, and I'll come closer to you. Of the disciples, you know, there were the 70. There were many beyond that, but there were the 70, and then there were the 12. The 12 were closer to Him, Jesus, than the 70. Is that right?
Yes.
They did stuff with Him other people didn't do. The 3, remember that?
Yes.
Peter, James, and John. They were closer to Him than the rest of the 12. You know, there were times when he would go on a little further to pray, and they went with Him, and the rest of them didn't. He'd go in like to Jairus' house, you know, and he took the 3 and the other ones didn't go. They were included in some things that others weren't. They obviously were some closer. Yeah. Right? And John apparently seemed to be maybe a little closer than the other two. And we see at the supper, where's John's head? About this far from Jesus' head. And his claim to fame, in writing to John, you know, he said, referred to himself as the disciple the Lord loved. Who are you? I'm the one he loves. He's the one that followed Jesus all the way. The other guys, remember, they were scared, and Peter, bless his heart's out there cursing and says he don't know him. John went all the way in. John went to the cross with the women. There were no other men there with him. John was standing there when Jesus looks down off the cross and says, "Behold your mother. Mother, behold your son." Are some people closer to him than others? Is it just because he picks and chooses? Said, "No, yeah, you can come on." No, that's close enough. No, it's because some people have a heart for him more. They love him more than others do. They desire to please him more. They're willing to please him more. Others are, you know, try to be satisfied with their long distance relationship. The Bible said concerning Peter that night, said he followed the Lord afar off. And that's when he got in trouble. Yes. Right? Yes. Hanging way back. There was a little boy. One time he fell out of the bed in the middle of the night, and his mom came in there and said, "What happened?" He said, "I guessed I stayed too close to where I got in at." And that's what happens to Christians, right? Falling out, backsliding. I guess they stayed too close to where they got in at. Go on, get in the middle of the bed. Right? Come on, full in. Come on, fully obey. Fully commit. Can you do it?
Yes.
Can you fully please God?
Yes.
Can you completely obey Him? Every day, can you satisfy him? Can you please? Yes, he's not unreasonable. He's not unreasonable. He's not. You can please him. He wants you to. He's rooting for you. He said, "Come on. Come on up here closer." Now notice, though, one of the biggest deals, and we'll see this, we're going to get into it as the Lord helps us. Read the rest of this little chapter with me. He said, "This, I'm telling you this, our fellowship is with the Father, our fellowship is with the Son. I'm telling you this so that your joy would be full." Now keep reading. "This then is the message," verse 5, "that we've heard of Him and we declare to you, God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all." Now you know, reading the rest of this little book, he talks about if you hate your brother, you're walking in darkness. Well, what if you walk in? What if you love your brother? What if you love your God? What if you're increasing in thinking love and talking love and responding? Well, the light just gets brighter and brighter. That's what's supposed to be happening. He said, verse 6, "If we say we have what?"
Fellowship.
Now, what is fellowship? Fellowship is living in this love, living close to Him, sharing with Him, and walk in darkness. We do what? Now we're getting into now one of the biggest reasons why people don't live fully in the manifested love of God. One of the biggest reasons why the fellowship is not like it's supposed to be between person and God and person and person. He said, if we say we are having fellowship, but we're walking in darkness, we do what?
We lie.
We lie. This word lie appears again and again and again through this epistle. You remember it? He said, if you do this, you do that, and you say this, you're lying. Right? You're a liar. He says it about five times in this little epistle. Lying, lying. Why? That is one of the chief causes of the fellowship disrupted. Lying. Lying to oneself. Lying to God. Lying to each other. Oh, a lie is to fellowship what a stab in the heart is to your body. A lie. Now, we're not going to ask for testimonies. But it'd be real rare if there was a person in this place that had never lied. So no pointing fingers. But I'm telling you, it is one of the most awful things you could ever do in life. It is so destructive. You know, when you talk about the Almighty and you use the word impossible with Him, how many times could you say that? Something's impossible to God. But one thing that we see repeated is that it is impossible for God to lie. Why? Well, He is truth, isn't He? And if He ever told us one lie, just one, what would happen to our faith? If He ever lied to us just one time, could we be sure about everything else? Well, no, we know He lied once. And if He did, this whole thing had come apart because the very heavens and earth are upheld by the integrity. Oh, hallelujah. The integrity and the power of His Word. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light in life. This book is called the Word of Truth. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. 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 How about the devil? He is from the beginning a liar. He is the father of lies. And when he talks, it's a lie. It's a lie. And also, when his presence is manifested, it's strife. You cannot live in love and lie. Are you with me now? Are y'all going to help me get the rest of this out? This is so important. This is so vital. Do you see what he's saying? He's talking about fellowship. He's talking about your joy being full. And then in verse 6, he starts talking about lying. Keep reading. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we're doing what? We're lying. And we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Boy, there's a wonderful thing right here. Because what does that mean, Brother Keith? It means if you're walking in all the light you have, somebody said, yeah, but you know we're making mistakes we don't even know about. If you're walking in the light you have, the blood of Jesus takes care of all that. All the stuff that you're doing wrong you don't even realize. Well, if you're walking in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses. It's a continuous thing so that you are clean and pure in His sight all the time. He can treat you and deal with you as righteous. Even though, you know, there's some stuff that might not be right, that's not right. But you don't see it. You don't know it. And all you can expect of somebody is to walk in the light they have. And as you're doing that, the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus, the Anointed One, is continuously keeping you clean. Cleansing you. Now he goes on to talk about the other. What if you know better though? Well, then you're not automatically cleansed. What do you have to do now? Here it is. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, and you got to back up and pick this up. If you say you have no sin and you're walking in darkness, you got to keep it in context. You're walking in darkness and you're saying, No. Well, then what are you doing? We deceive ourselves. You remember another passage that talked about deceiving yourself? From what? Not being a doer. Right? You know something. The Bible says to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And it's a sinning against light. That's what sin is. Don't make it complicated. What is sin? Sin is violation of light. You know something you're not walking in. You know not to do something and you're doing it. You know to do something and you refuse to do it. That's sin. Right? It's violation of light. He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Even if you blatantly rebelled against light, you knew better. You were not ignorant. You knew perfectly well what you were doing. And you knew you shouldn't do it. And your flesh wanted to do it. And you just went on and did it. Still, you can be cleansed. What do you do? Now, confess means to acknowledge. And see, this is talking about lying. Hold your finger right here and go to Proverbs 28. Y'all are awake, right? You with me? This is important. I'm telling you, this is important. How many want to live in the full pleasure of your Lord? I mean, lay your head on the pillow at night and know God is happy with me. He is pleased with me. And just live in this love that he is. Can you do it? Is it possible? Is it within reach? It's supposed to be. It's supposed to be normal for us. But one thing you're seeing now, I hope, and you'll see it clearer and clearer, you must be honest. You must tell the truth with yourself, to God, to other people. Elsewise, you cannot have this close fellowship. In Proverbs 28, did you go there? And 13. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covers his sins, what'll happen? Could that be a reason why some folk that believe in prosperity and believe in sowing and tithing? You can't violate, you know, shout about one part of the word and violate another, right? He that does what? Covers his sins shall not prosper. Now, Job, don't turn there, but Job 31:33, I believe it is. Job 31:33 talks about how that Adam covered his sin. and he tried to hide his iniquity. You talk about a perfect example of what the Lord's ministering to us tonight. It's right there in the garden. Were they living in love? Oh, love made the planet. Love made a garden for his man and his woman. Right? There was no curse in the air. There were no thorns. There were no briars. The animals were not mean. They didn't eat each other. That's true.
That's right.
No curse.
That's right.
Never was too cold. Never was too hot. Why? Love was manifested in the earth's atmosphere. No curse. And God himself, love himself, would come down in the cool of the day. He would blow in like the breeze. And Adam and Eve, right there with him. And they'd talk, and they'd talk, and they'd listen, and they'd enjoy each other. That's why God made us. That's what we were made for. They lived in his love. And then they violated light. The Bible said Eve was deceived. She knew the commandment, even though she was deceived. She knew you weren't supposed to do it. But she was believing that she would be wise. She believed some of the stuff the devil told her. Adam wasn't even deceived. He did this knowing what he was doing. Well, what happened? What happened to their fellowship? Next thing here, God comes and he says, Adam! Adam! Adam didn't run to him and say, I did it. Did he?
No.
No, what did he do? He's hiding in the bushes. Right? Is it dumb to hide in the bushes? From the Almighty. Oh, he won't see me in the bushes. He made the bushes. Yeah, he's in the bushes. It's kind of like Jonah. You know, the Bible said he fled from the presence of the Lord. He got him a ticket on the ship. And he's going to leave God. He couldn't get away from God. Like the psalmist said, if I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I go to the deepest parts, you're there. In the ocean, you're there. Where can I go from the presence of the Lord? But you know, people are still trying by the millions. Oh, they quit their job, they leave their husband, they leave their wife, they leave their kids, and they go, you know, get them some liquor and some drugs, and they go to, you know, an island far away and get behind a palm tree, and God says, hey, hey, what are you doing? You can't hide from God. But listen, do many Christians cover their sins? Even between them and God? Yes, they try. They try. But what happens? You cover your sins. You cannot prosper. You will not. There's no way to come out good. No way. You're not going to prosper has to do with succeeding. You're not going to succeed. How many remember Jesus talked about there is nothing hidden that shall not be revealed? Some stuff comes out here. Some comes out later. You would prefer it came out now. I'm going to go over that real slow. It's a public like, I don't want it to come out at all. Well, then you got to do 1 John 1:9, which means what? Number one, confess means what?
Acknowledge.
Acknowledge it. Acknowledge it. What about when you sinned against people? Then you need to acknowledge it to them. You get it right with God, and then you get it right with them too. One reason we're doing it this way, you know, because James talks about even getting healed. Confess your faults. Right? One to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. Why? Because this will hold you out of fellowship. And condemnation destroys faith. Condemnation destroys confidence. That's why people don't act right around each other. Because secrets separate. A lot of times people, they don't even know what it is, but they know something's not right. Something's not right. Why? You can sense this. What is this? It's somebody covering something. Somebody lying. Can you be close like that? Can you be close to God like that? No, you can't. I'm telling you, people, you may be able to dupe some. Usually it's less than you think it is.
Yeah.
And a lot of stuff that don't come out at the moment, it'll come out later.
Yes.
You're better off just getting it dealt with up front properly, right?
Yes.
But with God, can you hide anything from Him? Can you snow God? God looks through everything, all the stuff right down into your heart.
Yes.
He knows exactly what you know and what you don't. See, help me with this, Lord. People, Christians now, ministers, become proficient at manipulating situations. They're intelligent, and they use this intelligence to manipulate. Somebody's messed up. I'm not talking about unbelievers now. You know they got problems. I'm talking about people that's saved. Somebody messes up. And they come in and it looks like somebody might find out about it. They'll jump on them. What'd you do? To get the spotlight off of them. Start a fight. Accuse them of stuff. And turn the tears on. Act like, I didn't know. I didn't know. Lying. Can you be close to God like this? Is this happening? It's happening far too much. Go out and charge up the credit card. Come lie about it. Buy stuff and hide it. Say, I didn't know. I didn't know how much that was. Lying? That was more than I thought it was. I've had people look at me and say, yeah, but Brother Keith, I just don't think my wife can handle the truth. Brother Keith, I don't think my husband can take the truth. Well, now tell me when God told you not telling the truth was an option. Where did you get that? I just don't think they can take the truth, Brother Keith. I mean, I love them too much. I have to lie to them because I just love them too much to tell them the truth because it would just hurt them so bad. Yeah, it hurts you. You're looking out for your hide. Now, do y'all know what I'm talking about or not? Does this have any application to anybody? Oh, it's all over the place. I wish it wasn't, but it's all over the place. I remember one night I was in a meeting. Word of knowledge operated through me. Strong. I mean, the last half of the meeting, strong, and then we're out of there real quick, and we were going to the airport real quick, and the fellow that was over the meeting, he handed me the check from the offerings. He said, Brother Keith, he said, I'm sorry, but the offerings just weren't very good. And the Holy Ghost said, they were very good. You wonder about folks. They think, you know, you can be led into service, but you step out the door and... Preachers. Now, what'd that do to me and them? Is that love? Do they love me? No. It bothered me because I'm thinking, man, I'd rather you just haul back and slap me in the face. Honestly. You go, I'm mad at you. Pow! At least it's honest. You understand what I'm saying? Instead of try to deceive me and use our relationship, my trust in you. Did you hear this now? You're counting on, because we have some trust and rapport, me believing you. And so you're going to use that to deceive me? That's what the enemy of my soul tries to do to me every day, is deceive me and lie to me. You done changed sides.
Yeah, that's right.
People do it, they think out of self-preservation. They do it to keep the peace. They do it. Never, ever, ever is there a justifiable lie. Ever. No such thing as a little white lie. Never, ever, ever lie. Ever. Ever. About anything. If it costs you your job, don't lie. If it costs you think of friendship, don't lie. Don't lie. You blow it, you come and confess it to the Lord. You say, you don't come and say, well, they said I missed it. I don't know. Some people think it's wrong and some people don't. But if I did, whatever, I ask you to forgive me. Call sin, sin. Lord, I judge this as sin and I did it. No excuse. I knew better. But I confess it in front of you and I'm asking you to forgive me. What did the Bible say he would do? He is faithful. He is faithful. He'll forgive you. He's just. He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness so you can step back in to the full pleasure of God. Now he's fully pleased with me again in Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Go back to 1 John, please. And I'm thinking about starting to close. Just thinking about it. Are you with me that one of the very worst things you could ever do in this life is tell a lie? You believe that? God hates. That's a strong word, isn't it? To say God hates something, but does the Bible say he does?
Yes.
Yeah. Proverbs 6. In fact, turn there. You got time. Sure, you got time. Proverbs 6, while we're on this. Now, do you still have everything connected here? Why are we talking about this? We're talking about living in love. Living in God's full manifested pleasure on our life. Right? In order to do that, we've got to stay in fellowship with Him. And in order to do that, we cannot lie. And if we're going to enjoy this same love, walking in love with each other, living in love with all of our family, living in love with our friends, we've got to keep the same thing. We've got to keep things open, keep things clear. Right?
Right.
And there are so many people, they grew up with parents that lied. And they saw teachers lie. And they saw preachers lie. And they think, well, you know, everybody lies a little bit. You know, everybody. No, they don't. I said, no, they don't. God cannot lie. It's impossible for him to lie. Can you picture Jesus telling a lie about anything? Ever? No. And there are people who don't lie.
That's right.
There are.
Amen.
Am I looking at some?
Yes.
There are people that just don't lie. They wouldn't lie to save their life. You have to make up your mind, it's not an option. It is not an option. It's not an alternative. And when you do, now you're going to be walking in truth, walking in light. As we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with each other. I believe that means first and foremost, me and the Lord. Right? And then it applies from there to me and you and all of us. But I cannot tell a lie. I cannot lie before God and cover my sin. I cannot lie to you. Elsewise, what do I do to our fellowship? It's just the least bit of falseness, God knows. And if you walk with Him very much, you can sense it. You start trying to do something goofy, you can tell. God, the Bible said God does not even regard vanity. You start talking a bunch of stuff to Him, I mean, He don't even listen to you anymore. And if you know somebody's lying to you, you ought to do the same thing. Just walk away. It's the greatest insult somebody could do. But here it says in Proverbs 6:16, these six things does the Lord hate. Man, what a strong word. Something that love hates?
Yes.
Yeah. What's the first one? Proud look. Did you know that pride and lying go right hand in hand together? I mean, the Bible said in Obadiah 3, the pride of your heart has deceived you. So many lies are told because of pride. Trying to impress somebody. No telling how many lies are told in church foyers. Our church parking lots. Our restaurants after the services. People trying to impress each other. With their spirituality, trying to impress. What is that doing to fellowship? Well, it's not real, and people can sense it, so after all this lying, what do? None of it was real. You got nothing real going on, you just look at each other across the table and go, you just messed up your fellowship. Right? A proud look, a lying tongue, and he goes on to verse 19, a false witness that speaks lies. Three of these have to do with deception and lying. Does God hate it?
Yes.
He hates it. How can two walk together if they're not agreed?
Right.
If He hates lying and you think, you know, it's a help in the time of need. Then you and He not in agreement about this. Right? Said out loud, God hates lying.
God hates lying.
I hate lying.
I hate lying.
I will not lie.
I will not lie.
For anybody.
For any reason.
I do not hide my sins.
I confess.
And forsake.
And forsake.
And get mercy.
That's
what the scripture said. You want to come out of the situation? You want to get help? There's been so many times. Phyllis and I have been in the ministry for some years now. And people that worked with us and partners and for us and friends and fellow ministers. And there have been times that the Lord has sent me to situations and I wanted to help them so badly. And I tried to work the conversation around it to a little bit. But you know, you can only go so far. And if people don't want to talk about it and want to pretend it doesn't exist, that's as far as you can go. You are wrong to try to push it off on them. And try. And there are times, I don't care what you know and what's revelation you have, it's not okay to try to push somebody and make somebody do something. God doesn't make people do things.
That's right.
Right? And the Lord told me this one time. He said, it's not, Keith, what you see. One of these situations, I was in it. And I was around this person. I thought, just, you know, open up to me a little bit. I'm thinking, God's already given me some things. We can pray about this. We can get this. But people are so embarrassed. They don't want you to know. And don't realize you already know.
Yeah.
And you still love them. But no, they want to hide it and they want to cover it. What does that do? Then you've cut off your fellowship. And so many times they're praying and begging God for help. And He's already sent help.
Yes.
Help is there. But if you keep covering and hiding, you're not in a receiving mode. Can you see this?
Yes.
And so many times the help would come through, you know, husbands and wives. It'd come through each other.
Yes.
Parents and children, it'd come through each other.
Yes.
So many times. But if you hide it, if you cover it, well, we're just going to pretend it's not there. You're not going to have fellowship either. Be cold, distant. Well, I don't like it that way. Well, do something about it. Be honest. Right? Step up, admit it. If you did it, you did it. Give me an honest sinner any day over a hypocritical churchgoer. You know what I'm talking about? Religious people are the meanest people on the planet. They will hurt you. They will hurt you and then give you three scriptures why it's okay. Oh, meanest people on the planet. And they'll do all this stuff and hide it and cover it and hyper-spiritualize this and just do dumb stuff and go, well, the Lord told me and that's my call, and I know I come across rough and brisk sometimes, but that's my prophetic anointing, and just dumb stuff. Give me a sinner who said, yeah, I got drunk, run over the bank. Yeah, I cussed them out, I did it. It was me. You can work with that. Man, what I'm talking about, you can work with that. But all this stuff, when the light gets on them, they start trying to shine the light on you. Well, have you searched your own life? And we all know our own hearts, and we have to deal with our things in our own way, and I'm working on it. I'm working on it. What does that mean? I'm working. What does that mean? I'm working on it. See, sin is unpopular. The word sin, the whole concept of sin, is very unpopular in today's church. You don't hear people talking about so-and-so's in sin. They have a problem. They have a problem with drugs. They have a problem with women and sleeping around. They have a problem with stealing. Good person, got a good heart. But they'll lie to you. They'll watch you, may lie. They're a good person. Good heart. But they'll sleep with your wife now. Watch them. Good person, good, love the Lord. But boy, don't leave any cash laying around. That's not a good person. That's not a good heart. And then you will talk to people about it. I tell them they don't want to talk about it. They're like, well, I've made some mistakes. I'm sure you have too. Bible says, judge not. Because I'm then turn tears on, you know. Pow. Because I love the Lord, I really do, and I'm working on it, I'm working on it, I'm working on it. What does that mean, you're working on it? You working on it? What does that mean? You had four women on the side, you down to two. I'm working on it. Brother Keith, I'm doing better. You know, I was telling up to 50 lies a week, and I think I'm down to 15, 20. What does that mean? You are in sin, and you haven't repented. This working on it's a bunch of junk. It's you're in sin, and you won't repent. No. But to get there, you must confess. You must acknowledge. You must not cover. You must not hide. There's been times Phyllis and I sit on our porch and, you know, people in our church, and Spirit of God show us stuff that's going on. They think we don't know, but we know. And you just, you wish. You sometimes send somebody else to talk to them, sometimes talk to them. You wish they would just tell us. Tell us, we can help. But no. Just build this shell and build this cover. And when you cover your sins, tell me the scripture. You will not prosper. Can you come out like that? Can you succeed? You cannot. But if you will, the rest of the verse said, if you will confess them and forsake them, what'll happen? God will deal with people to give you mercy. He'll deal with people to give you mercy. He will have mercy on you. Yes. Right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Stand on your feet, please. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thanks be unto the Lord. Blessed be God. Let's praise Him some. Let's lift up our hands and our heart. Lord, we worship You. We adore You. We magnify You. You are so good. You are so good. You are so good. You are so good. I want us to take a time right now and repent before the Lord for any lies, any deception, any falsehood. And the Bible said, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. There may be some people that you need to talk to. Now, there's not a maybe. There's a number of people. There are people you should talk to and deal with things. And the Lord, though, knows your heart. If you commit in your heart to do it now, He'll heal you on credit, so to speak. Anybody know what I mean by that? Just that He sees your heart, that you're committed, you're going to do it. He'll heal you because in your heart, you've already done it. But you best follow through with it. So close your eyes, everybody. Everybody, pray this out loud, and then we're also going to pray in the Spirit some. Say it out loud, Father God,
I adore You.
You are my God.
I reverence You.
That You are truth.
That You are complete light.
There is no deception,
no falseness,
no darkness,
not even a shadow
of it in You.
I love You for this.
And I see and know
that I must not cover
or hide
or I will not prosper.
But I must confess
violated light.
And I must make things right. with others that I've lied and deceived concerning. And I purpose in my heart to do this thing, to lie no more, deceive no more, not even one more lie. No more lies. Say it again. No more lies. One more time. No more. No more. No more. No more. No more. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now pray in the Spirit some and let your heart rise up to Him. Lord, let all the walls come down. All that has separated, all that has divided, all that has been between, let it be removed. Let it be dispelled and dissipated in Jesus' name. Oh, come on, pray some more. Kovel and Blaste Ajadi. Ale blebeste vodovare groboste oshote. Hale blebeste. Crazed EVSOS. Get the child. The child. Let's go. Oh, vilain place de govabare meste ajadavate. Come on, let's pray some more. Let's commune to God some more. Oh, viani mele blemeneso seven nagovel and blast dove in the deji. Anbia dia besh do cho de vala blaba do so cover la bro de vejai. Pe la vlaba de va ma mara bra ma so son de vanegia. De so co sto vela blast over de vej de via gen de van man de van bla ma song song de. Oh, everything removed. Everything that's been between. Removed. Dispelled. Cleansed. Oh, say la valen blast anja dia de so. Se va mi amaso coven de barroso. E valen blanson. Pe bale flompo. Oh, sanaba, sanaba, sanaba. Oh, ve baro do so de je de les adon son do se de tabla so do se de je da to so de la se da nesa co Ve maran brenzon de la vamba la las do je doi. Oh, help us to see, make us aware. Angle sandia no mongla ve no mongstone jele dan nesu se dia je di. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. It's time to receive healing. Remember the Bible said, confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. Let's make the commitment that whoever the Lord tells us to confess and get things right with, that we'll do that. This puts us on healing ground. Right? Don't say it if you don't mean it now. Be better off not saying it than to say it and lie again. Right? But it won't be fixed if you don't say it. You'll have to do it at some point. There'll not be a better time than right now, tonight. Get it all right. How many can see in the eye of your heart the walls, the things that have been between you and God and other people disintegrating tonight? Coming down. Coming apart. No walls. Nothing between. I want you to reach up and put a hand on the shoulder of the person beside you. The Bible said, pray one for another. We're going to do this, and healing is going to be to us right now in the name of Jesus. Everybody say it out loud. Father God, I will confess to those I should As you lead,
no longer
will I cover,
will I lie,
will I pretend. And we pray one for another to be healed in Jesus' name. So do it right now. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we lay hands on each other. Into Komosh DJ, everything that has harassed this little one, I come against it. I curse it. I command it to leave. Get out of this little body. Stop being in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, let your anointing come through every part, every organ. Every ko menare eje dele vende ele ble mangonjo dongo long vanangle bandalang danenji de be healed, be liberated, be delivered from it, be healed completely from it, and be healed, become whole, be strong and perfect in the name of Jesus. Oh, shegale vlamene and devolam blomene govinjo nevam bela vlaba devara jo deo jedia. Zengale vlomene vanya neves dia jo devalam bloma song do gonjo deste. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Perfect in every way, whole, whole, strong, clean, clear, free in Jesus' name. And that's how it has to be. Oh, Sheila Kalavlembe di Enemisoji, Sale Glamy and Ivamba Davanamarasonde, say. Oh, Jesus said, when you pray, believe, you receive them. Let's lift up our hands and begin to say, I believe, I receive. I receive my healing. Oh, hallelujah. Stomach's being healed. A lot of stomachs. A lot of stomachs being healed. Put your hands on your stomachs, folks. There's a lot of stomachs. Stomachs, intestines, colons, being healed. Oh, your insides being healed. Insides being healed. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Many watching by internet, healed in the name of Jesus. Healing is working in your body, in your legs. Healing in your legs. No more arthritis. No more inflammation in your joints, in your hips, and your legs. Healed, healed, healed. In the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, let's praise Him some more. Just lift up your hands. Lift up your voices. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you. Oh, we praise you. Praise you. Praise you. Oh, we praise you. Praise our healer. We praise our healer. Oh, Samakal of Lamanadal of Lemanasidi. Praise you. Praise you, 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 praise you. Organs are being healed. Organs, organs, kidneys, livers. Organs are being healed inside your insides. God's still healing insides. Oh, thank you, Lord. Put your hands on your front, on your stomach. And if not for yourself, you're believing for other people. Healing. Healing is coming in into people's insides. Oh. Inflammation, infection, cancer, tumors, growths. Be gone in Jesus' name. Oh, healing, healing is happening. Healing is happening. Healing is happening. Healing is happening. 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 Now listen, we're going to do this some more, but there's some folk here or by internet, I don't know, maybe some of both, I guess it is, but still holding out. Still holding out. And you'll miss your healing like that. Don't do that. Don't let the devil lie to you. Oh, I can't tell him. I can't talk to him. I can't. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. It's the only way to get it right. Close your eyes. Say, I refuse to hold out. I'm not holding out. I'm not holding back. I won't cover. I won't hide. I will make it right. Say it again. I will make it right. I'll get it right. I'll say what I need to say. I'll tell what I need to tell. I'll do what I need to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, some more people need to receive their healing because they were dragging their heels. So let's raise our hands and let's believe with them now. I receive my healing. Healing my insides. Healing my insides. Oh, God is healing me. Healing is happening. Oh, thank you, Lord. 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 Lay your hands on your chest. Lay your hands on your chest, everybody. Oh, we receive healing for hearts and lungs. Healing for hearts. Oh, thank you, Lord. 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 Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Naught, nothing to prevent the least of His favors. Hallelujah. I draw close to Him. He draws close to me. No deception, no lies, no hiding, no covering, no pretending. I open my heart up. Open my soul up. I'm honest with God. Open with my Lord. And the walls come down. The barriers go away. The blockages dissolve. And the lies go away. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, thank you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. 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 There's life in the blood. Oh, the blood.